vision for it. Father, we thank you. Our status is changing. In the year 2023, we are changing levels supernaturally. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify your name. We exalt your holy name. Thank you and thank you, Lord. And blessed be your name. In Jesus, whose wonderful name we have given thanks. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have given thanks. You are here on this first Sunday service of the year in this assembly. He has kept you thus far and brought you here ill, healthy, with your family intact. Lift up those hands again and give him thanks for it. Appreciate him, exalt him, appreciate him, give him thanks, give him praise, give him glory, give him honor, adoration. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify your name. We bless you, Lord. We say thank you. We bless you, Lord. We say thank you. We bless you, Lord. We say thank you. Be thou exalted. Be thou magnified. Be thou glorified. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. On this highway that you are currently on, no devil will be able to stop you. The year 2023 will be your best year yet. It shall be your year of glory, shall be your year of honor, shall be your year of favor. It shall be your year of turnaround. Your children will be successful this year. There shall be testimonies this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Throughout this year, there will be no evil report. No evil report to you. No evil report from you. Your business will take a new turn this year. Your career will take a new turn this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Year 2023 will be the best year you have ever seen. What you don't think you can lay your hands on in the next 5 years, in this year 2023, it will appear to you double. Amen. If you believe it, your amen will be louder. Amen. If you believe it, your amen will show it. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe it, you will put a smile on your face and congratulate your neighbor for me on your right and left. Congratulations, choir. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Congratulate somebody for me. And if you have done that, put those hands together for the Lord and be seated comfortably. Glory to God. The Lord will speak to us again this morning in this service, and his name will be glorified. Thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' marvelous name. Praise the Lord, I'm finally on the covenant highways of life. Let's be reminded quickly of the prophetic focus for the month. Prayer and fasting empowers for dominion. In our teaching series that we started in the first service, we'll be engaging the power of prayer and fasting for dominion. This will be part 1B. Engaging the power of prayer and fasting for dominion. Now, be reminded, we have been told over and over again that the last days are the days of power. And we have been told over and over in scriptures what the last days have to offer. Beginning with Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, watch out for the last days and watch out for the signs of the last days so that you are not partakers of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, he said, this know also, that in the last days, he said, perilous times shall come. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Since they will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. He says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. He says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He said, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He says, from such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. He says they are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He says this is the sign of the last days. When you see it, he said to Timothy, you are a man of God. Beware of this. But it's not all about evil report when it comes to the last days. We are also told by Joel the prophet some other things that will be happening in the last days. Joel said to us in Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy house, in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord, which is the last days. The last days are the days of the Lord. He says, for the day of the Lord cometh, and for it is nigh at hand. And when it comes, he says, this is the sign that it has come. Verse 8, he says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we know that the outpouring of the Spirit of God is the manifestation of power. When the Spirit of God comes, power manifests. So we can simply say also that the last days will be the days of power. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, in the beginning, at the upper room, when the Holy Ghost came, power came. And what they couldn't do, they began to do. And so he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, said the Lord, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So in the last days are the days of empowerment. And if the last days are the days of empowerment, empowerment does not just land on people, and we crave empowerment. And how one way by which we crave empowerment is in prayer and fasting. So if the last days are the days of power, then the last days are the days of prayer and fasting. The last days are the days of empowerment, then the last days are the days of prayer and fasting. They went to Jesus one day, some of the disciples of John and some of the disciples of the Pharisees, and they said, well, why is it that we fast and all the other disciples fast, but your disciples don't fast? Matthew chapter 9, 14 to 15. It says, then came the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? He says, but the days will come. Those days are the days of the last, are the days we are in right now. Well, they couldn't fast because the bridegroom already is with them. And that's why 1 minute when the bridegroom was not with them, the devil flawed them. They said, they cast out this devil. They couldn't. When Jesus came, he said, you see, not it is because of number one, your unbelief. Number two, because you are eating too much. And when I'm gone, he says, then after I have left, they will have no choice but to fast. Why? Because at that time, the bridegroom would have been taken from them. Everybody will need their own power to do their own things. So when the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, everybody was empowered, including Peter, one small girl flawed. Peter, this one is also part of them. He said, no, I know him not. He said, this one is part of them. He said, I swear I don't know him. Why? Powerlessness. But when power came, the Bible says Peter stood up in the midst of them. And it came to a day, Peter was even abusing them and was cursing their fathers. And they couldn't do nothing to him. Why? Empowerment. That empowerment is coming upon you this time. But be reminded, the empowerment is received on the altar of prayer and fasting. So the last days are the days of empowerment. Psalm 110 and verses 1 to 3, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. It says, thy people shall be willing in the days of thy power. That is talking about the end time church. In the days of thy power. And then in Psalm 63 verses 1 to 2, he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power. last days as the days of empowerment. The last days are the days of prayer and fasting. And then if the last days are the days of empowerment, number three, the last days are the days of vengeance. The last days are the days of his vengeance. The days of his vengeance. The last days are the days of his vengeance. They came to Jehoshaphat. Enemies came to him. Nations came to fight him. Jehoshaphat said, I have no power over these people. One thing I know to do, that will I do. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verses 1 to 2 beginning, he says, it came to pass afterwards, after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in, which is Engedi. And then Jehoshaphat did something. In verse 3, Jehoshaphat prayed. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared. You see, any news that is giving you heart palpitation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this service, it shall be uprooted. Whatsoever is causing you fear, we begin to fear you after this service. It says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. How? Proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He proclaimed a fast, seeking God is in prayer. And then when you add fasting to it, it is more dangerous. Seeking God. And what was his question? Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Verse 4. What was his question? He says, to ask help of God. To ask help of God. That is the only place that help comes from. From God. There is no man on earth that can help you. No matter how powerful that person is, nobody can help you like God would help you. As a matter of fact, I said in the first service, where you are seeking help from is where the danger is coming from. You need the help of God. Help from above. He says it's to seek help of God. And then he said, there is no way. What was his prayer to God? There is no way I can fight these guys. I need your help. Arise on my behalf. He says in verses 12 to 14, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Hazael, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, then the Spirit of the Lord came. Every time the Spirit of God appears, help has come. And help comes in prayer and fasting. He said the Spirit of the Lord came. And when the Spirit of God came, he told them what to do. This is what you will do, and you will not need to shoot one arrow. I, the God of vengeance, will arise on your behalf. Everyone oppressed right now, all your oppressors will be judged. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I received a text yesterday from one of our members there. Being oppressed. Oppression. Some people just felt that they can oppress. Why? And in my anger, I sent a text back. I said, the God of vengeance will avenge for you. The God of vengeance will fight everyone fighting you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall it be. And then when help came, the Bible says they didn't shoot one arrow. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord began to walk. The Lord began to fight. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Mount Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Please take note, any battle that is too heavy for us, we ask for help in fasting and prayer. We ask for vengeance in fasting and prayer. The last days are the days of vengeance. Psalm 61 verses 1 to 3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Every time you see the anointing, it is the baptism of power. and where power is, vengeance is. He says, the Lord God had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the door of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. Psalm 63 and now verse 2. And the day of vengeance of our God. So the last days are the days of the vengeance of our God. That God will arise on your behalf. We saw vengeance upon Herod for his pride. Vengeance came upon Herod for his pride. Glory to the name of the Lord. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 12 and verses 21 to 24. Acts 12, 21 to 24. He said, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people began to clap, shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He says, but the word of the Lord of God grew and multiplied. Most of the times, until vengeance answers, the wicked will not give up. Until there is vengeance, the wicked will not give up. You know, when a rat is in your house, it will keep eating and eating and eating everything until you find a trap to kill him. No matter how you beg the rat not to come back, it will come. You don't beg wickedness. You invoke vengeance against wickedness. Until the wicked is stopped, the wickedness will continue. Glory to God. That's why he said, Psalms 94, verses 1 to 5. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. That is, I'm tired of this. Show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. Arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Psalm 68, verses 1 to 3. Arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Until Pharaoh was stopped, Pharaoh was not going to stop. Pharaoh had to be stopped because Pharaoh was not going to stop. No matter how they begged him, no matter what until he was stopped, he was not ready to stop. Whatever the situation is in your life that is as a result of wickedness, it is coming to an end today. Amen. I said it is coming to an end today. Amen. Luke chapter 18 now, and verses 1 to 8. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. It says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he be along with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He says, now take note, verse 1 of that scripture began with that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So when she engaged prayer, he said, as long as she continued to pray for vengeance, though it took a while before vengeance came, but vengeance still came. That is, men ought always to pray and ask for vengeance. Otherwise, if the wicked have not stopped, the wickedness will continue. He said, continue to pray for vengeance. You know what I saw, what I believe in this scripture? I believe that she didn't add fasting to it. That's why it tarried. She was just praying. There was no fasting. But if fasting had been added from the beginning, the God of vengeance would have arose in the beginning. Continually praying. But the man said, look, just in case, this lady keeps, if I don't do it, she will keep coming. Let me just do it for her. But look at the one that vengeance, that fasting was added to. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? So fasting is there. And then verse 9. Then shall thou call with prayer. And he said, and the Lord shall answer, not come back. Thou shall cry for help, for vengeance, and he shall say, here I am. Fasting added to prayer, resulting in vengeance. He said, if thou take away from the midst of thee, the yoke, the putting together of the finger, and speaking vanity. In this service, the God of vengeance will arise for you. But please take note, when it comes to fasting, there is a way to go about it. Therefore, let's take a look at some profitable approach to fasting. Profitable approach to fasting. What makes fasting profitable? Which means there is fasting that is not profitable, but there is fasting that is profitable. Number one, we must come confessing and forsaking our sins. We must come confessing and forsaking our sins. If we want God on speed dial, then we must, our hands must be clean. All sin must be dropped off. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who will be able to stand in his presence? Two things are very crucial. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. We can't stand in his presence with sin. He said, the reason I'm turning away my face from you is because your hands are not clean, your heart is not pure. That's why I'm turning away my face from you. He says, but who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart and had not lifted up his voice unto vanity, his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And then he explained it more. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 2, he explained it more. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his hand here heavy that it cannot hear. But what has separated the barrier between you and him is the iniquity. He says, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The reason he's consistently not answering is because of sin. He says, take it out and he will hear you speedily. He said, Psalm 68, verses 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What we did up until yesterday, he has forgotten. If we ask for forgiveness, he says, if you need to approach me these 21 days, take away iniquity. Let your hands be clean. Let your heart be pure. Let your hands be clean. Let your hands be pure. Why? Standing in his presence demands righteousness. So two things are very crucial. Our clean hands and our clean heart, pure heart. Our clean hands and our pure heart. Why? We cannot have access to him if our hands are not clean. And he will not hear us if our heart is not pure. May the Lord give you understanding. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I said, I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I said in the first service, if there is a doctor here now, and then there is a huge lineup of everybody, and the doctor uses his, what is that thing called? Stethoscope. And it puts it in the heart of people. And instead of him hearing the heartbeat, he's listening to what the person is saying in the heart. He will recommend that some people just be admitted in the church immediately. He will be hearing some things that even the person, some people will be saying, I wish you fall down now and just die. That is the doctor himself. That is how the Bible speaking, it says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. He says, who can know it? God said, look, I'm not listening to what you are saying from your lips. Man can listen to what you are saying from your lips. I am looking into your heart. That's why hands must be clean, heart must be pure. He's not looking at what you are saying. He's not hearing. God does not hear what we say. He hears what the heart speaks. What we say is just noise in his presence, but what the heart speaks is what he's looking for. Hannah was praying every day, every Shiloh. Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me, until her countenance changed. That is the state of her heart. The prayer of Hannah that God had was the change of the state of her heart. She was praying the same prayer, but the state of her heart changed. We are coming to his presence tomorrow with clean hands and a pure heart. Until that is changed, fasting and prayer is a waste of time. We are just doing exercise. Or what is it called? But that will not be you again. Number two, profitable approach to fasting. We must refuse to be offended in God. Refuse to be offended in God. It is dangerous to be offended in your helper. The Bible speaking in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. And you have heard from me that the only one that can help, true help, where true help lies, is in God. You know, let's take a look at some other translations of this scripture. In CEB translation, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. Always underline it. A help always near in times of great trouble. EHV, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who can always be found in times of trouble. So that means there are helpers that cannot be found in times of trouble. A helper who can always be found in times of trouble. If you like, call Papa. There are days that you will not be able to pick your call. But there is a helper that the connection never fails. Not that he doesn't want to pick your call, he's just not available. He's also talking to his helper. A helper always available in times of trouble. GNT. He said, God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Always ready to help in times of trouble. Now, how will you now be offended in the one that is always ready to help? I said in the first service, there was a man called John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus the Christ. He's speaking. He said, the shoes of Jesus I'm not even able to latch. But one day, he got offended in him. Matthew 11, chapter 1 to 5. He says, now, when John had heard in the prison, the works of Christ. John was in the prison. Christ was working wonders. He says, in the prison, the work of Christ. He says, when Jesus had made an end of commanding the two disciples. Okay, verse 2 now. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, go and ask him,
Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, because why was he saying that? John the Baptist is now living in bitterness. He knew the ministry of Jesus, and he knew one of the ministries of Jesus Christ is deliverance. So he was wondering, why am I still in prison? He can speak from there, and the old gate will open, and I will leave this place. Why is he leaving me in prison? Go and find out from him. Is he still the one to come? Or do we look for another? You know, there are questions people will ask you. You will know they are bitter against you. Go and ask him. Is he still the one, or shall we look for another? But look at Jesus' answer. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. Go and show John what? Which means that was not the first time he was sending them. Go and show John again what you see. And then verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the deaf are raised up, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then also now, this time, tell him. Verse 6. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Tell him now. I have not been telling you to tell him that one before, but now, tell him. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Offense in God and in man make the helper helpless in our situation. Offense in God and in man makes the helper helpless in our situation. That will not be your story. Your amen must show it. Paul said in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Toward God and toward man. I said in the first service, you are the ultimate loser when you will take offense. I will always say it again. I've said it before. I will say it again. I will say it again tomorrow. Anyone that allows anybody to live in his head rent-free will always have a dick. So today, if you know any amendment you need to make, and I've said to somebody before, or to some people before, you don't have to be the one to have offended the person. You know that there is offense. And then you go, if I've offended you, I apologize. Why? Because the help of the helper that you need is more than the one carrying you in their head. If I have offended you, please, I apologize. Let's move on. 21 days is starting. The enemy will be pushing distractions towards you. In fact, the person you are offending is the one you will be seeing more during the 21 days. To increase the tempo of the headache, you won't be found there. I said in the first half, you may even get to somebody and say, see, please, forgive me for, you say, I've dropped you from my head. Say, I was inside your head. I didn't know I was inside your head. Glory to God. Someone here, your deliverance has come today. Yeah. Profitable approach to fasting. Number 3, we must engage our heart in seeking the Lord. Engage your heart. We must engage our heart in seeking the Lord. Not our lips, but our heart. God has access to our heart. Psalm 16 and verse 1. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. God is not looking at the lips. God is looking into the heart. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparation of the heart in man. This is what that means. What a man says may not be the true reflection of what is in his heart. But what God is looking at is what is in his heart. Glory to God. God does not pay attention to our looks. He does not pay attention to what we speak, say. He pays attention to what the heart is saying. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near. Who will draw near? And he shall approach unto me. Who? Who is he that the one that engaged his heart? The one that engaged his heart. The one that engaged his heart. God has a plan for you and I in the year 2023. And this plan is a great plan. It's a huge plan. How do we take delivery of it? Jeremiah 29:11 tells us what plan God has for us. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That is to give you my plan, to deliver my plan for you. That is what is in my heart for you. But how will you take advantage of it? Verse 12, "Then shall ye call on me." You will call on me to ask me for it. "I have a plan for you, but you will need to ask me to do it. Then shall ye call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? Hearken unto you." And how will I hearken unto you? Why should I hearken unto you? Verse 13. "And ye shall seek me, and you will find me when you have searched for me with all your heart." Not part of the heart, not most of the heart, with all your heart. When you engage all of these, I said, the soil, the heart is the soil whereby the prayer is sown. The heart is the soil whereby the prayer is sown. And if we need to harvest the prayer, the soil must be perfect. The soil must be good. So everyone, walk on your heart. 2 Chronicles 27:6, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." Many have said in their heart, I can never forgive you. That's probably where you are still, where you are right now. May the Lord give you understanding. Profitable approach to fasting. Number 4, we must define our goals and objectives. We must define our goals and objectives. For every task, there is a plan, there is a goal, and there are objectives. Blind Bartimaeus proved to us goals and objectives. Blind Bartimaeus, though physically blind, but spiritually awake. Blind Bartimaeus, physically blind, but his spiritual eyes were open. What does that mean? Focus. Mark chapter 10, 47 to 48. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He didn't allow the market noise to disturb him. He didn't allow what was going on around to stop him. People were trying to stop him. He didn't. People who could see wanted to stop the blind man, but they couldn't. Why? Blind Bartimaeus was focused. He had a goal. My eyes must be open. He had an objective. And when he got to Jesus to prove that he had a goal, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "That I may receive my sight." Goal and objective. What does that mean? You have something that you are targeting in these 21 days. Something that you are targeting in these 21 days that will be tangible when it happens. Focus makes you physically blind to the discouragers. Focus. Having a goal, an objective, enhances our focus, and focus eliminates distractions. Focus eliminates distractions. Anything that will distract you this time, the Lord will eliminate them. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, focus in simple English means mind your business. Mind your business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Put it up. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet and that ye do your own business and to work with your own hands as he has commanded. Let's not be a referee. Let's be a player. Glory to God. Finally, take a look at this scripture. What are we to focus on? Now, let's move on. What are we to focus on very quickly? Let me give us three examples of what to focus on. Number one, what to focus on. Number one, focus on enlightenment and illumination, not the noise around. Focus on enlightenment and illumination. That is, focus on scriptures and ask that light come from scriptures to point us to what to do in order for our turnarounds to show up. Focus on enlightenment and illumination. John chapter 1 and verse 1, John 1, 1 to 5. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without this Word was not anything made that was made. He says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means any darkness surrounding anybody now, in these 21 days, the light that you will receive will shatter the darkness. Amen. Verse 9, finally, when the light came, what happened? Verse 9, he said, that was the true light which lighteth every man. When the light comes, everyone will be lighted. Illumination will come, and then what to do will be revealed. Number two, quickly, focus on issues requiring divine intervention. Focus on issues requiring divine intervention. Since we know that no man can help us, only heaven can. Areas where we need the help of God, let's focus on it. 2 Chronicles 20, that's what Hezekiah focused on. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 to 4. Jehoshaphat, that's what Jehoshaphat focused on. He said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And verse 4 says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of God. Ask the help of God. Focus on how heaven can help you. Intervention of heaven. And heaven will arise on many people's behalf this time. Finally, what should we focus on? Focus on seeking divine direction in any area that you need breakthrough. Divine direction. Focus on seeking divine direction in any area that we desire breakthrough. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. It says, is this not the... Isaiah 58, 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That is when we are being guided. When is the one guiding us? And then he says, this will be the final result. Verse 14. This will be the final result of the guided. Verse 14. This will be the final. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, and the mouth. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Any area you desire breakthrough, focus on it. Don't focus on what is going on or what is not going on. Focus on it. You know, let's close with this scripture. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 6. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 6. This man said, he said, look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. You know what that means? I failed in both businesses. Why? Because I didn't mind any business. Because I was putting my nose in other businesses. The ones they gave me to manage, I couldn't manage it. Even my own, I couldn't manage it either. So I failed in both businesses. You won't fail this time. I said you will not fail this time. You will not fail this time. Those who will succeed, rise up on your feet with me. Give God thanks this morning and give him all the praise and all the glory. Give him all the honor and all adoration. No one here will fail. No one watching online will fail. At the end of these 21 days, everyone here present will have testimonies. Everyone watching online right now, you will have testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ, no one will fall behind. No one will fall behind. In the name of Jesus Christ, so shall it be. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. All heads bowed and all eyes closed, it begins with salvation. Whatsoever we have talked about this morning begins with salvation. If he doesn't know you, he can't help you. And we need his help this 21 days. Now somebody else is saying, well, I did know him before, but I walked out on him. But now I want to return. Why not this morning? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Somebody is here like that this morning. Somebody is watching online this morning that wants to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Put your right hand on your heart. Online and on ground, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Online and on ground, I want to know you as my Lord and my personal Savior. I want to rededicate my life to you. I knew you before, but I walked out. But these 21 days, I need your help. You are doing that? Say this prayer after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and to the glory of your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you will help them. These 21 days, you will help them and your name magnify. It will be evident that they have returned to you. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Glory to God, church. I thought you were clapping. You said that prayer. Somebody, yeah, just take care of mommy. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that has been displayed right now, and somebody will also be back.